Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're watching episode 725 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Super Slammerai, episode 2, Shell Game.
It aired February 25th, 2012, written by Seth Walther? Or Walther, I don't know if you pronounce the th or not.
I never know.
directed by Jonathan Braw.
So February 25th is my friend Eli's birthday. I have a lot of February birthday friends.
It's a birthday-heavy season, Super Samurai.
Apparently. So, 2012. Was he still in... He might have still been in college. He went to, like, a real one, so they took a normal amount of time, and not the fake one that I went to, which only took 21 months to get a bachelor's degree. So he might have still been in college. Or that was maybe around the first time I met other Josh's now wife, and I got so drunk that I threw up all over Eli's car, which, happy birthday, Eli. I think that was later in the year. I don't think it was on his birthday. Anyway, look, we recorded one of these yesterday. I don't know how much we got to talk about at the front. So, hey, Jake, no, that's later. Whoa, what happened? Oh, I time traveled. Oh, no, Josh.
Oh, no, we're in the future now.
Oh, God. No, if you're new here, that's the first one. And then we watch the episode. And then, okay, if you're new here, what we do is a pause recording. We watch episode Power Rangers. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along if you got YouTube or a DVD. When we went over how much this cost yesterday. So you should be at least ready to buy. We gave you the price guide to Super Samurai DVDs. It's also on Tubi, which I like Tubi's quality better than YouTube. It's still just 720p, but for some reason it feels crisper. At least Samurai did. I haven't looked at the Super Samurai yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I just watched it on YouTube on my computer. So
anyway, you can follow along if you should. It's Super Samurai. It's so much better than Samurai because it's super.
It's super.
So you should watch it. If you didn't care for Samurai, you should watch Super Samurai because it's better. It's more.
Just, yeah.
They got jackets and confidence now.
Do you remember when...
And everyone has worse hair.
This is such a stupid thing that happened in the late 90s.
Okay.
WWF had Monday Night Raw. They had a 2-hour slot on USA.
Sure.
And at some point, 98, 99, USA gave them, like, you could start at 8:57. And they made a big deal about how Raw had 3 extra minutes now.
Yeah.
And I just remember, I don't know if he was Michael Hayes again or if he was still Doc Hendricks. I think he was still Doc Hendricks. But I just remember him being like, now we get that 3 minutes to really... Bam! In that more kind, he just kept going like bam with
like Emeril Lagasse.
Yeah,
was he trying to ape Emeril?
I was like a stream. Oh great, yeah. So we can get the intro out of the way before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, man, that's wild. Because then they went to 3 hours, like in the mid-2000s, and it was like, oh, you don't have anything. You don't have anything for that time. You don't know what to do with it.
I don't even know what you just said that made me tell that story. I just remembered that.
I don't remember. Was that... I mean, I would have been watching WWF by then because WCW had been destroyed circa... No, that was 2001. So maybe I wasn't...
2001, yeah.
Maybe I wasn't watching yet. Maybe I was still a WCW kid.
Yeah, I think it was so they could get the drop on Nitro.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Raw starts 3 minutes earlier.
Yeah, but then also... Remember when Raw was it Raw or was it Nitro that was taped and then the other one would just give out the full...
Raw was taped because that's when Tony Schiavone famously said Mick Foley's going to put butts in seats.
Yeah, and then he did. And everyone switched over to watch him win the title.
Yeah.
And then they never won another week again, I don't think. So way to go, Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine if when Time Warner... wanted to get rid of WCW, if instead of selling it to Vince, they sold it to, like, Bischoff and Hogan and whatever. Can you imagine the extra maybe 5 months they would have got out of it? I don't know. I always wonder what it would be like if WCW kept being a competitor. Like, if they always had competition.
Yeah.
The 2009 to 2012 era wouldn't have sucked the moon out of the sky, probably, at the very least. Who knows?
Yeah, anyway. Now they're like a stone's throw away from being sold to the Saudis, so...
I mean, they're basically... They basically already are. Thank God for AEW. So at least I can watch good wrestling by people who like wrestling and not just want to have commercials on.
Yeah.
thoughts. Did you hear? You know how yesterday we went off on AI. Did you hear that they have decided that they are putting AI in the writers' room at Double Double? Did you hear about this?
I have not heard about this.
So they have a program that is generative AI that will give them story ideas, so they have less to think up, because Triple H wants to be a politician, I think, now, and he's just not there as much because he's off gallivanting with the current regime. Anyway, stop watching WWE, by the way, if you're still doing that. I wish I could I don't watch it. I do catch clips of NXT because my man Ricky Starks is there, and that dude rules so much. I worried about him getting the Keith Lee treatment when he comes up to the show. We'll see if he even gets there. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is they have a generative AI program. Do you want to know what the first cool story that it spit out was?
We went over this because YouTube has the same thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's videos that your audience wants to see. And it's literally things that don't exist.
Yeah. Josh, do you want to know what the first story is?
For some dead wrestler to be involved in a storyline this thing spits out.
You're so close. The first idea it gave was for a wrestler who no longer works there and does, in fact, work for AEW, Bobby Lashley. It said, you know what you should do with Bobby Lashley? You should make it so he becomes really into Japanese culture, like when they did that with Tensai. Do you remember Tensai when they made A-Train Tensai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's literally do Tensai with Bobby Lashley.
It is literally
just taking things you put in there and smashing them together and spitting them out. It's nothing.
Yeah. Except here's the thing. You don't even have one of those guys.
No, and the rest of it is racist in multiple ways.
It sucks. It sucks so bad. And they're like, once we fine-tune this, once we work the bugs out, this is going to really help us make...
It's literally going to be like, do the thing you did already again with someone else. That is the only thing it can tell you.
Which WWE is already an expert in.
Like, they've been around for like 100 years. They've done it all.
Their favorite thing is just doing something again, but worse. You don't need a computer to tell you that. WWE is basically The Simpsons.
Yeah, they've been around too long. Everything's fallen apart.
Yeah.
Triple H is Marge's voice. And they've done everything.
They need to. That lady needs to
hang it up.
She needs to hang it up, because if she dies before she hangs it up, they're gonna kill Marge, and then The Simpsons will be over, right? Like, I feel, or then we'll get brand spanking new Simpsons, and now they're gonna be teens.
Dude, I would love a like Simpsons kids. Simpsons baby.
Simpsons baby. I say this as if I have a dog in the Simpsons race. I haven't watched the Simpsons since
2000 maybe.
I used to watch it occasionally when it was on at seven before something else that I wanted to watch, but I've never been into the Simpsons terribly much.
Yeah, at that time it was my mom's boyfriend would come over. We would watch The Simpsons and like that 70s show and then Survivor.
Yeah.
And that's the last time I watched The Simpsons. I still watch Survivor, but that is the last time I watched The Simpsons.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, I guess do what you want, Simpsons. I don't care. I don't care.
Anyway, that's our advice to you from two people who don't care about the show at all.
Who don't really like the show. I just have a fascination with long-running institutions and media, I guess. Josh, do you want to go watch Shell Game?
Yeah.
There's a song that I keep, and I can't remember what, hopefully by the time we watch this, I can figure it out. There's a K-pop song. It's not called Shell Game. It's called Something Game. And every time I say Shell Game, in my head, it goes in the cadence of that. It's Love Game by LaBoom. Okay, never mind. We're good. We can go watch the episode.
So it's not Head Games by Foreigner.
No, it is not. It is Love Game by LaBoom. It's been happening literally since you mentioned it yesterday, like what the next episode was. It's been on repeat in my head, just Shell Game. Nope, that's not it. It's Love Game by LaBoom. We're good.
Let's go watch it, and maybe we can end this curse.
Okay, thank God.
Let's super samurai, guys.
Jake.
Josh. Yeah.
All right, I'm coming back. No, right. You come back. What am I doing?
I come back. I'm going to come back.
You do it.
You take a break. I'm going to come back.
All right, I'll be over here.
And we're back. And we just watched Shell Game. And Jake, I might have to pay YouTube $9.99 before I watch another one of these damn toy commercials.
Did you count how many you had?
I think I had 5.
I feel like when I started paying attention, I had 5, but I'd already maybe missed 3 or 4.
Yeah.
I would not put it past there to have been 9 commercials, 9 15-second unskippable, the same 3 commercials.
Anywhere from 4 to 12 commercial breaks on a 23-minute episode of Power Rangers, which is set up for 2 commercial breaks, I believe?
2, yes. Yeah.
Man, it sucks.
It might be
worth $9.99 to not have commercials when I watch Power Rangers and to be able to play music when my phone is locked.
Right. The two things like you need.
I'm still the weird elder millennial that buys albums when I can digitally. Sure, yeah. I don't, because you can't get CDs anymore.
I tried buying Sabrina Carpenter's new CD and it was sold out, but you know what they had infinity copies of? The 500 different versions of Taylor Swift's new album. Which I guess are not moving at Target.
But before I buy an album, if it's a new artist, I like to try it out on YouTube first.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to just be able to do that on my phone and lock it so my battery doesn't get sucked all the way down.
Right, yeah. And then also you don't have to worry about infinity commercials. I honestly, yeah. I don't think I'm going to do it because I'm cheap, but I did just cancel a couple subscriptions because I'm trying to set like budget for the first time in my adult life, so like I know how much money I have at any given point, instead of just being like, maybe it's okay, because like that didn't work for it's not working out so great.
Yeah,
because like I haven't had a ton of money in recent years, so I just don't buy a lot, which is fine, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've gotten used to being like, I don't have money, so I'm not going to get anything. But I had a couple subscriptions things and I was like, what if I just cancel everything, not everything but most things? And then I, like, figure out how much money I have left over, and then I can, like, slowly work back up, right? But maybe I'll spend the $10 on YouTube, because then I won't get these weird AI commercials about jackets when I'm watching, like, camping and survival videos.
Yeah.
Because, like, I understand that you think that I'm the market that would want to watch that, but I promise you I'm not. I just want to see a guy in the woods making a house out of sticks and stuff. Like, that's mostly what I want at night when I'm trying to fall asleep, because I have taken sleep aid and it's starting to work. But, like, there's a lot of weird ones. There's a lot of weird trash, but it might be worth it. And then also, side benefit for my job. Maybe if I... Oh, could I tax write that off?
Can you write it off?
Can I write it off?
I mean...
If you... Hey,
Are they going to look...
Just cards,
like,
on the table.
Like, 2 people work at the IRS right now.
Right? So, cards on the table. And this maybe this is jokes, depending on how... This might be podcast jokes and not real. Okay, maybe I'm about to create some fiction for you. Maybe last year on my taxes, or maybe it was the year before. I did them very close together because I wanted to get them done early this year. I think it was the year before. I had to get data recovery done, because my external hard drive crashed a couple years ago. And so I had to get that, like, get the data recovery, because I had, like, every episode we've ever done and a whole bunch of other stuff on there that I, like, needed to have. And it was, like, $300 altogether, because I got the new hard drive, and then it was, like, $200 for the data and all that, right? Mm-hmm. And all my taxes, it was like, what are your losses for this year? And I was like, well, I had to do data recovery, and that was, like, $320. And they were like, okay. And I was like, do you need me to put a receipt? And it's like, well, we don't care. We'll trust you. So, like... Maybe if I just say, like, hey, I spent $120 over the course of the year on not watching ads for my media podcast.
Yeah.
That counts, right?
And maybe as a media critic.
Yeah. Like this is important to my job that I can just get the purest form of the media.
Yeah.
So, like, would they be like, cool,
I think,
with
so
us?
If the LA influencers can write off their poppy vending machines, I think we can write off our $10 YouTube subscription.
I think so. I'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. Did I already write off my computer? I'm just doing my math right now. I need to go look at my taxes.
It's getting to be that time.
Well, I don't have to. I already did them this year, which is so because I've done them in October for the last several years. My body is like, it's tax time. We have tax anxiety for some reason. It's like, no, dog, we took care of that. And it's like, I don't understand. Anyway, we're so far afield. HeyJakeandJosh.com. That's the website. Now we're in the future from earlier. You can go there, listen to old episodes up through currently Space Patrol Delta, which a lot of people don't remember that's what it's for, but that is what it's for. And it's also super confusing later on when they have Space Patrol Alpha that comes out before, but then they say in the show that Space Patrol Delta is the first one. So, like, they don't know. No one knows.
They don't know. They don't care. Why should we?
But that's the burden that I bear, yeah. Josh, is that I have to care about this stupid stuff.
Yeah, like this. It is our Zelda timeline.
unfortunately, this is our Zelda timeline.
Because I have to focus on this, I have abandoned the Zelda timeline and burned it to the ground. I don't believe
as
in it
should
anymore.
Be. Yeah. As it should be. Anyway, you can go listen to that on the website. You can go to sysl.dev. And go to the tools and you can find our archive feed. You can also find the Kingdom Smarts archive feed too. And that's also there. Speaking of something that I haven't edited in quite some time because I've had the ADHD wall go up. And it's like, you can't edit that one. And I'm really trying. I promise y'all, I'm really trying. It's just, the wall is so strong.
Because I get that with like Charged Crystal a lot too. I'll get that wall. It's like, I don't want to work on this ever again in my entire life. I'll take like months and months
off. I can't.
But
it's
then,
even like, I would like to work on this, but
yeah,
you just are
you
not
sit
allowed
down,
to.
Your brain just will not let you. But then all of a sudden, it is the only thing you want to do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of waiting for that to circle back around, hopefully soon. Anyway, soon, I promise. I hope. You can email us, littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on BlueSky, morphingrid.bisky.social. We're on Snapple Podcast and Google Play, Pod Game? Pod Game.
It's Pod Game, baby.
This is welcome to the pod game. This is the pod games.
Yeah,
pod games is like if a bunch of podcasters got together and did like Olympics stuff, right?
Yeah. But it's like podcast.
It should be double
Olympics.
Dare. It should just be double dare.
Actually, I think it's just double dare.
It should just be double dare. It should be family double dare, and it would just be podcast groups of I don't know four or five podcasters competing against each other in double dare quizzes and trivia and physical challenges. And Joe Bogan would not show up. He's too scared. He would not.
He would be awful at Double Dare anyway.
Yeah, he's dumb. He's a dumb guy. Have you ever heard him talk? He's stupid.
Unfortunately, yes, I have.
He is like the least intellectually curious person I have ever seen. Because any clip, first of all, if a clip comes up with him on it, my thumb is like, I got this sheep and just scrolls away from it. But if it doesn't catch that, then like I hear him just be the dumbest man.
Yeah.
And it sucks that he's basically in charge of who becomes president because of that. That's wild. And even he's like, hey, ICE is going a little far, don't you think? So like,
yeah,
Joe, that's the guy you had him on your fucking podcast, dog. Anyway, leave us a rating and review. Also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/JJakeandJosh. $4 a month, you can support the show for as much as you want. You can also support the show for $5. You get access to the Discord, which is a cool, fun place. You got so still for a second that I thought you froze. And the only reason I know you weren't frozen is because Daisy's tail was wagging still.
Yep.
Anyway, patreon.com. If we hit 700 a month, we will do the Deep Day Dive, the Dumpster Dave is a dumpster.
The Dave dumpster here.
Hi, Dave dumpster. Come eat my chicken. Welcome to Dave dumpster's chicken shack. What was it? Don London? Not Don London.
Don Market.
Don Market is right down the street from Don Market's market.
Yeah.
And Shark Marcher's used car and pizza emporium.
He just, Don Market is in the market business.
He's in the business of markets. And what can I do to get you in a market today? Where was I? Something about dumpsters. I don't know how I got here. Deep dive day of the dumpster day.
$700 gives us the day of the dumpster, deep dumpster dive day.
Yeah. And then if we hit 750, we'll do a season like we did for Galar, but for Sinnoh on Pokemon World Tour.
Deep dumpster dive day.
Yes. I'll write that down when I edit this, and then I'll, so we can have it for future reference. Anyway, you want to jump in?
Yeah.
All right. We start off a big old Whoppermelon. That's just a big Whoppermelon sitting there.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, cool. We're doing something with watermelons today. And it's training.
They're just training.
Beans. Kevin, Mike cuts it in half.
It's Kevin and Mike. Whichever one is which.
Mike is green.
And behind them is Emily practicing cymbals on big sketch paper.
On big, like...
one of those big, like...
grade school art easels.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, buy this for art class for charcoal day or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like huge, huge slices of paper.
Mike is doing like fancy sword stuff, and he slices the watermelon in half.
Yeah, and Kevin looks at him like kind of proud, but then he takes out a coconut and he throws it in the air. Bone deep, Josh. I can't. We've been over this. And then he cuts the coconut up as if to be like, watermelon's easy, but the coconut, that's the tricky one. You still have so long to go, Mike.
Could be a melon. Looks like a coconut.
Looks like a coconut. It's in there so deep.
I have to dig that CD out. I have to do it.
You're going
to
exercise the
demon. He's not going to gain any money for me listening to a disc I bought 20 years ago. It's fine. He throws the coconut into the air. And he spin chops it in half.
Yeah.
So if Kevin is ever on Survivor, you want him on your tribe. Dude is great at opening coconuts.
Okay. Is that a going concern on Survivor, is who can open coconuts?
Not really so much anymore. They just kind of hack it with a machete until the top pops off.
They've gotten away from the coconut meta.
Yeah.
They give them machetes now. I feel like that's...
we have to earn it.
Okay.
Yeah. But you get machete, a pot, and a flint. If your tribe wins the first challenge, you just get those.
And if your tribe doesn't, then good
luck,
sucker.
If you're one of the two tribes that don't, then you have a chance to earn it separately through a different thing.
This seems like... it seems like what happened with Survivor is that they kept adding stuff and forgot to take things away.
They added a lot of stuff in 41 and 42, and they have taken some stuff away. I think the best version of Survivor is in this new era somewhere. They haven't fully excavated
They're
it
still
yet.
Trying to
But it's
chip
close.
It out of the marble.
It's like it's teetering on the line, I think.
Okay. Because every time you and Chris are talking about it, I'm like, this sounds like an alien show for aliens.
they have to evolve it or else it's just you get the biggest group of people and win the game.
Right. But then you get the biggest group of people and win the game, but you got to be, it's not called Survivors. It's called Survivor.
Well, yeah, yeah. Because then when it gets to fun, like if you have an alliance of six, then they're always like, well, it gets to six, then it's game on.
Right.
But they never make it to six because someone in there knows I'm at the bottom of the six. So I need to get a new alliance that'll get me higher up and farther into the game and turn on my original six.
And you got to dump those six because they're too strong.
And then when you get to the end with your final, with your number one, and it's at the final four, you're like, look, I got to cut. I can't sit next to you at the end. We played the same game. I got to cut you. And that's every season of Survivor, basically.
I was going to say, I feel like a lot of it probably tends towards similar.
Yeah, that's why they have like the immunity idols and all the advantages and stuff. Is so
right.
It's supposed to be so people on the bottom can give the people on the top stuff to worry about and like ways to like get into things. But sometimes the people on the top just get them.
Right, because they're on the top.
And then they win.
Well, look forward to.
Yeah, you have to watch it.
I
no, I'm not telling you to watch. I'm saying if you want to get it, you have to watch.
You gotta
it.
Right? Okay. I see. So anyway, Emily is making big symbols in the back, and she makes symbol for big boulder, and a big Indiana Jones boulder falls out of the paper, almost runs her over. She dives out of the way, and then it rolls, and Mike and Kevin try to stop it with swords, but then it hits a bench and stops.
Fine. Yeah, it pushes them out of the way, and then Kevin is like, man, it'd be so cool if we had a sword like Decker that could cut through
Mike
stone.
Mike says that. That was Mike that did that.
I was 100% sure I got it right. But you're right. It was Mike that said that.
It was Mike, yeah. The same thing happened. I saw somewhere somebody was like put Mike on their bottom Rangers list, like their least favorite Rangers of all time. It was like Troy, Trey, and Mike. And I was like, what the hell did Mike do to you? And then I said that to Ash, and she was like, well, yeah, because he's like nothing. And I was like, no, I think like he's like probably my second favorite Ranger. And she's like, the blue one? And I'm like, no, that's Kevin. She's like, you're right. That is Kevin. Kevin's nothing.
Kevin is nothing.
Time.
But I think nothing is worse. Nothing is better than being a bad Ranger.
Sometimes I think it depends. I think there's a level of bad that you cannot come back from. They're like, yeah, I would rather you be nothing than. But I think nothing is like, it's sort of like I would rather watch a bad movie than a boring movie. you know?
Yeah. Kevin is more of a LaCroix and less of a plain seltzer water.
Exactly. Like, there's something there, but he's just, it's kind of nothing.
Yeah, he's basically nothing.
But getting Mike and Kevin confused is such a fun, it's just so fun. Because Kevin looks like a Mike to me. I don't know what it is. And Mike kind of looks like a
Mike
Kevin.
Looks like a Kevin.
Like, they could easily trade.
I'm even sure right now. I'm not sure which one is which now. Mike is the Green Ranger.
Mike is green, yes.
Okay. I'm back in.
I'm trying to think of a pneumatic.
So then that makes sense, because when I said Mike looks like a Kevin, I meant Kevin looks like a Kevin.
Right.
I don't know, man.
Anyway, now I don't know which is which. Green Ranger says, I wish we had a cool sword like Decker that could cut stone. And Blue Ranger is like, I hope we never have to find something that we would need that kind of power on. And I went, well, I bet I know what's going to happen in this episode. Also, Emily does run up and she's like, are you okay? Oh, my God. Here's the thing. How do you practice symbol power if every time you do it, it makes something happen?
I don't know. Like, what was her plan here? I'm going to practice the symbol for Boulder.
For when I need it, yeah.
Behind them practicing sword fighting.
Yeah.
And then when the boulder comes.
Like yeah, what's the plan?
Because this is not new. You know this happens.
Like, episode two, you made a rock and it fell on Kevin's foot. So, like.
Yeah.
But also in that episode, Mike made bad ones and just a bunch of leaves spit out. So maybe it's like you just have to you have to deal with the consequences no matter what. You can't practice. like every time you practice, something happens. So you need to just be ready for it.
It's also weird that just doing it on paper is also magic.
Is enough and not just with your magic brush phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is weird. I don't think I like that.
I don't think that's going to come up, but it would be great if they were getting beat and then they just drew like a symbol in the sand or the dirt when they're
just
on the ground.
Like earthquake in the ground.
Yeah, or Mia is like knocked down, everyone else is out, and she's like barely holding on, and she just types like types
in the ground.
Types in the dirt. Tornado, and like a huge tornado just
whip,
like blows through.
That would whip ass. That would be so good. So we cut from them going, I hope we never have to find something that we would need that kind of power on, to DeBoat, and up comes a big armadillo man. I call him Arnie New Mexico.
Yeah, his name is Armadevil.
Yeah, his name's Arnie New Mexico to me, and he climbs up on DeBoat to, and I wrote this down because it's, the wording is, implies something, to serve the strongest leader yet.
Yeah, like, it hasn't always been,
I guess.
Xandru? It's been Xandru for, however long the samurai have been stopping
for
him.
For quite some time. The only other bigger, like, big bad kind of guy we saw was the shadow man that made Decker and Dayu into Nylox.
But that doesn't seem, that, like, that is a demon, but not the devil, it seems. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
you make a,
yeah.
He's like a bargaining demon.
Yeah. But, he's the only other one who is, like, kind of big bad shaped, like, that could
be. And we know almost nothing about him other than he turned Dayu and Decker into Nylox.
Yeah, for a little bit I thought that might have been Xandru, but he's like, Xandru's not a deals guy, he's a power guy. And then also their eyes are different. They both have multiple eyes, but they're not the same shape. So he's invincible, right? Because he's armadillo.
He's like a pangolin, but his shell is a nautilus.
Oh, okay, that's where I was trying to figure out where the sea creature kind of meets.
Yeah, it's the shell. It's not a nautilus, it's like a snail shell, but
gotcha,
it's that,
gotcha.
Like, kind of spiral kind of.
Right, but he's also kind of pangolin-y.
Yeah, but he's got, like, the spikes are, like, around him, he's got that snout.
Yeah,
claws.
I don't know what yokai he's supposed to have tucked in here. I don't know if that's as important.
I don't know enough about yokais to tell you.
Same. But he's, like, he's also... His body language is that he's shy, but he does. His voice is not at all shy because he's like hiding behind.
Yeah, there's
stuff.
A lot of times when they're fighting him too that he's like, "Oh, I'm so scared." He's saying it sarcastically, but the monster is acting like it's real.
Yeah,
because I think in the Sentai, like, he is a scaredy monster. So thank God he's so
that's a good
dense,
he's invincible.
You know?
Yeah, and at some point Octaru even's like, "Oh, he's got a lot of mood swings." And I guess he goes from being like confident about his invincibility to like scared about it. But like the voice actor does not convey that. At all, even a little bit. I think it's maybe some of the worst not voice acting. The acting is fine, but like for what the thing is doing, it's like really mismatched.
Yeah. The monster looks really cool though.
Monster's very cool. And then we cut to the pier, or Antonio goes to have some R&R, baby.
Finally time to have a day off.
Nice day off at the pier.
Is this
the
thing that happens on coastal cities?
You just go to the pier and fish?
You just go up to the pier, fish off of it? I've been on vacation in Old Orchard Beach.
Yeah.
And like I've been to the harbor.
You've been to
I wouldn't fish there.
I would not fish right off the harbor.
So maybe that's why people don't do it there.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. There's a pier in Old Orchard Beach that goes out into the ocean. People aren't fishing off it.
No.
So I don't know. But there's a line of fishermen here. It's not just Antonio.
Yeah, he pulls up, he puts his cooler down, cops a squat there, and puts his headphones on and drops his dang phone right out his pants.
He's got it in his butt pocket and he sits on it and it like pushes it out.
Yeah, it's like when you take a bite out of a sandwich and it all comes out the back.
Yeah.
It's like that, but with his pockets and a cell phone. And then some like kid is walking by and kicks it, and so it just flies like 15 feet away. And like, oh no, dun dun dun, we cut to the theme song. During the theme song, it's like, go, go, Power Ranger. And then it gets there, and then it cuts, for me, to a YouTube, to the commercial for the thing saying, go, go, Power Rangers.
Yeah.
At the same time, but like a little bit off. And then, so here's what I think is
the
second
thing too, like,
commercial.
It's these toy commercials specifically that are like, we're going to show you 100 of them.
Yeah.
Because when it's not these, and a few episodes ago, it wasn't. I remember saying, like, I got regular commercials in this one.
Yeah.
And it's just the two.
Yeah.
But when it's these toys, they're like, just drop them in.
As many as you
we
can.
Gotta
already
sell
watching. We already
toys,
got them.
These toys cost 15 cents to make, and we sell them for $30.
$30 a
and
pop.
And we gotta push them on these kids. Or else Power Rangers, if they don't buy these toys, Power Rangers is dead.
It's dead forever again.
Ninja Kids is going to be the last Power Rangers media you ever see.
I don't think Ninja Kids is coming out. I really don't think. I don't think it's coming. And it, honestly, I hope it doesn't. And I hope that company folds like a paper crane. Because that, the goddamn, does that look so bad.
I hate to bring it up again. I just thought it was funny.
Look, you're right. So we come back from the theme song. We do take a break from the commercial. We do have to sell the Bob Pataki flip-head Red Rangers.
Power Goombas.
But on a harmonica.
Yeah. Yeah, for Toad.
For Toad. For our friend Toad. Your friend of mine, Toad. When we come back from the theme song, the first thing that happens is... And Spike finds the cell phone, but it's a morpher, but it's also a cell phone because he found it, a cell phone in the river.
He picks it up. He says, I think someone lost their cell phone. And Bulk is like, hell yeah. You know what samurais do? Good guy stuff. You know what good guy stuff is? Returning lost cell phones.
Finding whoever owns the cell phone and giving it back to them because of samurai.
This is so weird because I think Antonio is here in the background.
We see him in the background. He's like 5 feet away. He's got the tunes, man. He's got the
but
tunes
we
on.
We don't see them on the screen at the same time as any other Power Rangers for the whole episode.
No. Well, maybe that's why Antonio is separate, is because they were like, we'll get one guy that's not there and we'll put him with Bill and Spike for this part. Because they do, they come close, but they run away.
Yeah. And it's all, they are never on the same side of the camera.
Last episode, I don't know if I mentioned it, but they get like the rubble falls on them, right? And they're like, oh, it's dangerous. We see them again in the background while the Rangers are like cleaning up the puddles, which do not make an appearance in this episode at all.
You're right. They were there.
They're in
I
the
remember
far
that.
Background, but they're out of focus. So it could just be,
it could just
body
be two
doubles.
Extras with their clothes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we could have just had Big Jack and Skinny Mac. And instead we have this weird.
So we have Bill and Spike.
Bill and Spike and whatever. So anyway, he's like, but first I got any games. You got your games on the phone?
Yeah, before we turn it back, let's see if there's any cool games on it. Look at it.
It's a flip phone, man. Like, you can play Snake on there.
Snake, maybe there might be, like, a memory game on it.
Right, but you're not, like, you know, got Cannibal or Catan. You know, probably don't even have Sudoku on here.
You can't even play Two Dots on that. Is that still a game?
Probably. I had to kind of call it on Two Dots about 10 years ago when it got ridiculous.
You know those games, the puzzle games like that on phones, make you lose on purpose?
Yeah.
And they frustrate you. And then so if you quit and come back, you'll win.
Yeah.
And then they can frustrate you again just to try to make you buy stuff to not right. be frustrated. Because phone games are a whole racket.
They're super a racket. The only one that I play is that's like, I haven't played it in a while because I'll go through these like bursts of it. Like I'll just won't play it for like a year and a half and then I will catch up. And it's like, there's like thousands and thousands of levels. It's called Toy Blast. It's those like, you have to connect, like you tap on like colors that are touching to get rid of them, and that does stuff, and there's goals and things, and it's like, it's, you know, there's a million games like it.
Yeah,
but this one doesn't even have ads. It does have like lives and stuff, and you could pay for more lives, but it's also like easy to get like 30 minutes of like infinity lives. Like you can just play for 30 minutes without losing a life no matter what. So I don't know how they get money. I guess they're like, whoever's playing it, who's really into it, who's dumping the actual cash into it.
Yeah.
Is keeping it afloat. But like for a long time, it's like, they don't even have ads. I don't know what the game is here. It's just like, are they just doing it because they wanted to put a game out? But there's also the stuff that's like, oh, you got to get more lives. It's like, well, why would you do that if I'm not like, I don't have to watch ads to get more lives. Like, what do you, like, I don't know what the market is here. But I haven't played it like a year and a half. So when I go back, it'll be super nice to me and give me a whole bunch
you
of stuff.
You are going
to
win so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For like 400 levels, it'll be very nice.
And then you're going to hit that wall and you're going to stop again.
Yep. And then
when you come back, you'll win again.
Circle continues. So we cut from Spike trying to get games on the phone to Mia and Jaden. And this is weird, Josh. Jaden is like funny in this scene.
Jaden is, yeah. Like a character here?
He has like a personality a little bit in this scene. Who is this man?
First of all, they're here buying food.
They're buying, yes. He's, by the way, Jaden is,
he's
just
waiting outside, maybe? I don't know. She comes out of the store. He's outside already.
I think this is like a kind of an open air market. And so she went into like a little supermarket thing and he was like, I'll look at maple syrup over here or whatever.
I'll check out the pomangos.
I'll look at the pomangos, see how the pomangos are going at the fruit stand. And then she comes out and he's like, hey, did you get everything you need? And she's like, yeah. And then he looks in the bag and he's like, I don't even remember what all it was.
It's chocolate sauce.
Oysters. And Brussels sprouts. And
I do believe there also was a big baguette sticking out of
there,
the bag.
Well, how else would you know it's groceries, Josh? If there's not a big baguette stick, it's either that or the tops of carrots. There's nothing else that denotes that you went to the store. You might as well have not gone if you don't get a baguette or some carrots. And she's like, yep. And she's also like, I don't know how to explain how like Mia's like demeanor in this scene. It's very, it's not like serious, but it's just like matter of fact. Like there's not like.
She's confident.
She's like, yeah.
She's,
that's
yeah,
what I got.
He's like, this is everything you need for the recipe. And she's like, yeah. She's like, it's all in how you mix the ingredients.
It's all in how you, and Jane's like, I'll tell that to the paramedics. And she's like, what was that? And he's like, nothing. I'm going to, hold on, let me go over here for a second.
Yeah, let me walk ahead of you really fast.
Really quick for a second. But it's like, who is this man?
She does have a look on her face. It's like, why is everybody mean to me?
Right? Well, I think the problem is that they're trying to coddle her feelings, right? But they're also trying to be mean about it. So they're being mean. But they're not telling her, like, hey, when you make this food, it's kind of like poison.
Yeah. You cannot combine chocolate sauce. And maybe you can do something with oysters and Brussels sprouts.
Maybe. But you can't
the chocolate sauce, you can't.
The flavor profile is just, it's like, yeah. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about that. But they won't just tell her that. Instead, they'd be like, oh, tell it to paramedics.
I think Mia could be a great cook if she got the correct feedback.
If she just got some feedback. You just need to tell her, like, what's wrong with the food and why no one wants to eat it because it's poison, kind of. But they don't do that. So we cut from there to...
Where does all her food go? Does she...
when
do
she...
they eat it anyway?
No, they just dump it on the floor and they have their little folding buddies scoot it away.
They do a symbol power.
They do a symbol power.
The Zords, they're robots. They don't
they
know.
They don't care. They just like to have food.
There's just a pile somewhere where they warp it all to. They use a symbol power for disappear, but that just moves it and it is like a pile of Mia food, like right. A dump somewhere.
Yeah. It's right behind Bulk's garage. They're going to go back there one day and there's just going to be a 6-foot-tall pile of miscellaneous poison foods. So we cut from there to Emily training with a stick. And I was like, oh, is Dog back on the table? And a little bit is. We got one.
Sort of.
We got this. I
think Super Samurai Emily is too comfortable being a human girl.
It's too far.
Yeah.
She'd rather just be a country singer now. Or something else that I'll talk about in a couple of minutes when we get there. But she's training with a stick, and so I was like, oh, is Dog back on the table? There is one other line in there that, like, she does remember her roots. She remembers where she came from. But the boys are also training behind her. The gap sensor goes off, so they start running. Mentor calls Jaden. They're like, we'll be right there. Then he calls Antonio. But if you'll recall, Antonio dropped his dang phone on the ground while he's fishing, and now Bulk and Spike have it.
They actually... And I think they just do this. I don't think it's them specifically setting up anything for this episode. But, like, Jaden flips the phone open but doesn't say anything. And Mentor just says, hey, get to the arena. There's a monster.
Yeah.
And then he hangs up with no words. So when they call Antonio and Bulk answers, Mentor just shoots out the, there's a monster
he
at the arena.
He just says, monster, yeah, meet them at the arena, basically.
Yeah.
And then so he closes it and he's like, they're going to be meeting them there. So we'll take this to the arena. We'll give them the phone and they can get it back to their friend. And our samurai business will conclude. And Spike's like, oh, great. So they start going off. We kind of move over. We pan over to Antonio. He's just listening to what sounds like Zach's tape. Remember Zach's tape? They dance fights. And he does. I swear to John, it sounds just like that. It sounds like he's listening to Zach's cool hip hop keto mixtape.
Yeah.
While he's just fishing and enjoying the waves and the wind and the smell of salt
with
air.
His big gold headphones.
Big gold headphones.
Noise. They got to be noise canceling. Obviously. This guy hears nothing.
No, he might as well be on another planet. So we cut to the arena where Arnie's attacking. Jane and Mia get there first. And I was like, wait, but the others left first. Then I was like, well, no, but they were already out.
Yeah.
So they were already closer to town. So that makes sense. So they're there first. They attack. His shell is impervious. Wouldn't you know it? Just like everyone said. And then so they get knocked down. The others get there. And
he's rolled up.
He rolls up into a ball. And Emily gets there and goes, he's a ball?
Yeah. It's like, what's his deal? He's a ball?
He's a ball? She remembers. You have to go back, Emily.
It's still in there.
It's still in there. No matter how much you want to sing about whiskey or
trucks,
line dancing or trucks, it doesn't matter. You're still in there. There's still a dog in your heart.
He's a ball. I gotta get it.
I should get it, right?
I should get it. And then, but you can't have it.
I can't get it. I've put away my childish things, like like playing with balls.
It's time to grow up.
I've grown up, and now I sing about being dumped by a man named Bryler. So I can't get ball anymore, unfortunately. So then Kevin shoots him with his arrows. It does nothing. Everyone else does stuff. It does nothing. I also realized that Emily's weapon is a frisbee, basically. So, like, I don't know how maybe I said this before. I just have forgotten. But, like, it's all kind of right there. But he's impervious. So
it hits him, but he's just like, ha, ha, ha.
I'm invincible. And his voice, I can't explain enough that his voice and his body language do not match up, because his body language is like, oh, I'm invincible, right? I don't have to be scared, but I am still scared.
Like,
I'm
hiding, but the voice acting is like, I am intentionally protecting myself.
Yeah. And it's like, did you just not get notes? Because it's not like bad voice acting. It's not like Birdemic or anything.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you remember the girl from Birdemic, like the lead actress from Birdemic?
Yes.
That he took to a Vietnamese restaurant?
Yeah.
She's on the new season of Critical Role. which like, I don't have I have no interest in Critical Role. Every episode is 5 hours long, and everything I've seen from it, I'm like, I I get it. You're all famous. Like, I don't, you know, like, whatever.
You're all actors. I understand.
You're all actors and you're all trying to get your stuff in, brother. And like, you know, there's some, I did see one thing that did make me cry a little bit. One of them did something that I saw like a clip of and I was like, oh, you got me there, man. But like a lot of the time, it's just like, I know they're not because they're friends and they're all professionals, but a lot of it seems like waiting for their turn to talk and not like playing the game of Dungeons and Dragons, you know? But like, I don't think that's probably it. It's just kind of what it comes off as. Either way, I'm not watching a 5-hour episode every 3 days or whatever. I don't know how often it comes out. But her name is Whitney Moore, the actress who was in Birdemic. And she's in the new season as like a tiefling nun kind of lady who a cosplayer that I follow. When the character art came out, she's like, I'm going to make this before the episode even airs. And she did. And it's nuts. But then I found out that that's the girl from Birdemic. And I'm like, hell yeah. Good for you. Hell yeah. You know who I haven't seen in a while? Rod from Birdemic. Don't think he's probably doing anything. He's probably still selling solar panels.
For $100 million or whatever, whatever childish amount of money he made
like,
up.
It was like $1 billion. But then he gave him half off, which is insane.
Yeah. And then he hangs up the phone. He's like, yes. Yes. I got the deal.
I did it. And then the other guy's like, yeah. And then they make so much money for NTC Software. I've watched Birdemic so many times.
I might have to watch Birdemic again.
I highly recommend. I don't think... I know that Ash has not seen Birdemic.
No, why would she?
No, she hasn't. She didn't see Spider-Man until we watched it together. She has not seen Birdemic. Okay. She doesn't know who Kurt Russell is. So that's a fun thing I get to introduce her to, is kind of Kurt Russell's whole deal. So that's fun.
Yeah, show her some Christmas Chronicles.
That's exactly what we were... Because she's coming up for like... a longer stay because she's coming for Christmas. So she'll be up for like a week basically. And she's like, we can watch all the Christmas Princes. And I was like, yeah, we can. Also, we can watch Christmas Chronicles. And she's like, yeah, I haven't seen those. And I was like, yeah, Kurt Russell's in them. She's like, who? And I was like, oh, okay, you don't even know who Kurt Russell is. All right. I can't stress enough how fun it is being a movie person and dating someone who has seen none of them. It's very exciting. Where was I? Oh, this is when Bulk and Spike run up.
Yeah.
So he's in a ball. He turns into ball mode.
Yeah.
Kevin tries to shoot him again, but it does nothing. Everyone does their stuff. It does nothing. Bulk and Spike run up all like, we'll give the phone back. Yeah. And they see the Power Rangers and the monster, and then they turn around and they run.
Well, the monster opens up at some point because he turns to them and goes, and they're like, ah, and run away. But again, this is all on the other side of the camera of the Power Rangers.
This is over there. Like, yeah,
there's
not...
nothing else on the screen. It looks like they're in the same place, but not at the same time.
The stuff of them fighting when they first get there, when Jaden and Mia first get there, and then when the other Rangers join, that's all Sentai footage. I think I can tell that that's all Sentai footage. But they matched it really well, like the areas really well.
Yeah.
But that would explain why they don't, you know, they don't interact at this time. It doesn't explain why they don't interact any other time. But then, so they turn around, they run away. And then Jane tells Mike and Emily to go help them.
Go get those guys to safety.
They're good. They're running away.
They're gone.
They're gone. Then, so they're like, okay.
But that also doesn't even amount to anything. Because they're like, yeah, we got it. And Mike and Emily run off.
I think and then like the 30 Rangers, feet.
The Rangers get hit by Arnie. And they're like, ah. And then Mike and Emily turn around and they go, oh, no, guys.
And they run back.
They run back.
And then Arnie starts drying up. So he leaves. I guess all the puddles are farther away.
They covered them all last episode.
Did they cover every puddle?
When we see Emily drop the rocks on, they say that's the last one.
That's so much.
And Emily's like, I used all my symbol power because nobody would help me cover up all these puddles.
Well, everyone else is like, well, we were going to use symbol power, but we're not allowed to do rocks because you're rocks, so...
Oh, that's why, because she's the rocks.
She's
one.
Rocks, because she's earth. But her symbol is earth.
I guess that's...
You could put forest on it.
You could put forest over it.
Well, but it burns sticks. We saw it burn sticks.
Oh, that's right. That was good foreshadowing.
Yeah.
That you can't just put forest on it.
And, like, wind, we're just going to blow it around. That's not going to do
water,
anything.
And water, like, it'll just... You'll dilute it, but it's still there.
Yeah.
And it already is fire, kind of.
It's already fire, basically. I think water would also work, because isn't there a whole thing about how, like, real water is pure and nullifies bad stuff from Nylock Town.
Probably. And you needed to have the purest water for something.
They dumped
Swordfish.
They
pure
dumped,
water.
He
makes pure water.
He makes pure water. So just have the Swordfish do some laps.
Yeah.
Let it make him work for a change. So making poor Emily do it all. Now she's going to sing about boulders and stuff. And how all of her friends made her dump a bunch
her
of rocks.
New hit single, Kicking Rocks.
Kicking Rocks. Brittany Amp Hurdle. So they immediately run back to help them up. So they don't stop Arnie and they don't help Bill and Spike. Nothing
no,
happens.
Nothing happens. He just leaves. Okay.
So then we cut to later and they're at home and they're trying to strategize and they're like, nothing did anything. And Jane's like, there's got to be some weakness that we can figure out.
Yeah. And I think one of the girls is like,
not
a single one of our attacks broke through.
And Kevin's like, not a single attack. Huh?
And he comes to a very strange conclusion from this.
This is absolutely bonkers.
Because I thought the answer was going to be like, what if it's
five
all
at a time.
Attacks?
Do all five, yeah.
But instead, he's like, not a single attack breaks through, but the right attack from the right ranger at the right time,
in the right order. Then, and before Kevin comes and explains that, two things happen. Number one is that Mentor does a classic, Jaden's right. There's got to be something.
Mentor, I probably realized this earlier, but this is the first time I think I had the whole thought. What a useless character.
He's nothing. This mentor might as well be a smart fridge. Like, he is nothing.
He is the worst mentor character we've had.
Have we ranked the mentors
actively trying to kill them? He's the least helpful.
He is useless. He is a useless man. Yeah. Have we ranked all the mentors?
I don't think we've ranked the mentors.
I think maybe at the end of this season.
I think we could throw that in as a...
Put them on the list. When we do the list, we'll rank all the mentors before we put the Rangers on the list.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that happens is that Brittany Amp Hurdle is wearing the same thing she wore in the last. I think everyone's wearing the same thing. I think we're in uniform territory, and I don't bad hair and same clothes every time. Ugh. Come yeah. on, Samurai. You were doing so well in those. Literally just those two categories. And here we are. But she's wearing the same thing. She's wearing her like country ingenue outfit. When Mentor is talking about how Jaden's right and there's got to be something they can do, she gets close up to him and it's like from side profile. And the only thing I can think is that I've seen this exact shot in a Lifetime movie about a babysitter seducing a dad. It looks the damn ass same as a movie in that genre.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's something, I guess. I don't know. So then this is when Kevin's like, the right ranger with the right attack in the right order, and then we'll beat him as a team. And then Emily's like, speaking of team, where is Antonio? And then we cut from there to DeBoat, where Octaroo and Xandru are watching Arnie bathe. They're just watching him take a bath.
Yeah.
Like perverts. And they're talking about how like he did good, but now so he's gonna charge up and go back. And it's like, what do you want him to do now? And he's like, make everybody cry. Obviously, what do you think? I want him to do the same thing I want everyone to do.
Yeah,
raise the river.
New. Anyway, he's done. He hops onto the side of the boat and he's like, oh, that good red water.
Oh, I love that good red water.
And he hops away and he can hop on the water. He like bounces off of it like Kitty Kong.
Uh huh. With Kitty Kong, she could skip on water like a Deku Scrub.
Yeah, because he does the roll, and if you do it right, I don't know the trick. I've not done it. I didn't know he could do it until after I beat Donkey Kong Country 3 already.
Wait, Kitty Kong is not Kitty Kong. Who is Kitty Kong now?
Kitty Kong is from Donkey Kong Country 3. We play as Dixie and Kitty Kong. He's the big Kong in the onesie.
I'm thinking of Tiny Kong from DK64.
Yeah, no, that is Tiny Kong.
Who is not Dixie for some reason.
It's New Kongs, man.
New Kongs. But she's this. It's the same damn. They
it's
got
the
Candy
same.
Kong.
Chunky Kong is also Kitty Kong.
Yeah. Why did they rename? Is this. What's going on? Someone needs to get to the bottom of this.
They just wanted new characters.
And then now with DK Bonanza, the DK timeline is all out of order.
There is no DK timeline. The only timeline that exists is Power Rangers.
It's just Power Rangers, all that matters. Speaking of DK timelines, though, you know how Donkey Kong Jr. Got kicked out of the family?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's Donkey Kong, and then there's Donkey Kong Jr., and then there's Donkey Kong the second, the third.
And then there's current Donkey Kong, and original Donkey Kong is Cranky
Kong.
But
Donkey
nobody
Kong
talks
Jr.,
about Donkey Kong Jr.
He, like, he must have hit his kids or something. They exiled him, because he's, like, he was in Super, he was in Mario Kart for the SNES.
Super Mario Kart, and he is the protagonist of, like, Donkey Kong 3.
But, like, that's, then he's gone.
Where you play as Donkey Kong Jr., saving Donkey Kong, Cranky Kong,
from
Mario.
Mario.
Who's in cage and is going to sell him to the zoo or whatever. I don't really know what the
plot is. But is that Mario? Right? Is that
really
Mario?
That's Jumpman.
That's Jumpman. That's Mike Hakanawada or whatever. Do you know that he has another name, too?
I didn't know that.
Mario's got so many different names. but he got exiled for something. And we just don't talk about him anymore. And then now we got new Donkey Kong, who is same Donkey Kong, but seems younger. But then Pauline is younger, but maybe that's a third Pauline.
I think that is Pauline, as we know her from Mario Odyssey.
Before.
No, I think it's a different one.
You think that's not? Okay.
I think that is a, within the family.
Pauline's just a family name.
Pauline's a family name. Because she talks about her grandma, and I think her grandma Pauline
is
slash
Pauline.
Lady from Donkey Kong.
Yes, yeah.
And Pauline from Odyssey is in the middle, and Pauline from Bonanza is the next generation.
Right. I was hoping that Pauline from Bonanza would be young Pauline from Odyssey.
Could be that, because there's no reason that it isn't.
And then, because I really want Mario and Teen Pauline to have an adventure. Yeah, I want Teen Mario for some reason really bad.
We just want some teen media. Give us the Teen Simpsons. Give us Teen Mario.
We need Teen Simpsons. We need Teen Mario. Zelda's kind of weird on that front. Sometimes they're teens, sometimes they're not. But they're 120-year-old teens.
Yeah.
Which is just like basically the Simpsons anyway, right? Like
they're on a sliding time scale.
Yeah. Well, the Wild Games, the Of The Games, take place in an alternate universe.
It's different. Yeah, it's not the same. Like every Zelda game is different.
Like it's fine. And even though, officially, they're like, here's the timelines, and then here's Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom off to the side, people are like, but where on the timeline do they fit? Nowhere.
They're telling you they do not. They barely connect to each other, and they take place in the same world.
And you think that they're like, oh, but you can find a hat from Wind Waker. Yeah, because it's a video game.
It's an Easter egg. It's a video game that exists in the real world where other Zelda games exist, and it references them.
Do you think that... Like, because you can see Mario in Ocarina of Time in a painting. Do you think that that Mushroom Kingdom is next door?
People do think that.
I do for jokes reasons, but like, it doesn't, you're not gonna, like, Link isn't gonna run into Mario because it's way in the past, so he'd run into
Jumpman.
He'd run into Mike Kanagawa. The monkey stealer. And then none of these are Super Maria the plumber and her dog old dog.
Yeah.
Doing plumbing. She gets the job done. I did also a while ago, I remembered while I was editing that episode, I did joke about how they should have a sister named like Isabel or something, because it's the Italian flag is red, white, and green, and there's a red and a green. Their sister can be in white overalls, and she's back home doing the business stuff while they're off in Mushroom Kingdom doing whatever. And she's just like, yeah, well, I'll be right there. Okay. So like...
When I called the Mario Brothers plumbing, I wasn't expecting a girl to show up.
Is that girl a Mario Brother? She's like, yeah. you want me to fix that clog or not? You can call the Spumoni Brothers or whoever the hell if you want a job done. If not, get out of my way. I got work to do. Anyway, so we come from there to Bill and Spike celebrating not dying from the monster.
They're still scared. They just ran all the way home. They run in. They're like, oh, my God, a monster.
Yeah, but they're, like, happy about not dying, but they're you know, like...
They're still in...
Fight or flight.
Yeah.
Kind of. But then the phone starts ringing because they're trying to get Antonio. And they play hot potato with the phone until they both slam their heads into each other.
That looked like was not supposed to happen.
That was not. No, no. That, Bulk really hit his head on Spike's head.
Because he pops up for a second before it cuts, and he's like, ow.
Oh.
But before that, they Spike is like, where's the phone? Where's the phone? And he's like, I don't know where the phone is. And Bulk stops him, wanted to slap him.
Yeah.
Because I had to stop him from screaming.
He calls him like, I forget what he calls him, and that but he gives him some sort of like mush brain or some sort of like.
Yeah, he's like, if only it made a noise that we could find where it was. And he's like, I have it. Somewhere
in one of these pockets. But when he called, I swear to God, he called Skull this in like MMPR. Like it was the same exact case. Like it like activated a sense memory.
Yeah,
of it. And I was like, oh, there you are, Bulk. There you are, man. But it's in his pocket, and he gets it out, and then they play it. Like it slips away from him because they're all excited, and they play Hot Potato, and then Spike dives for it because he wants to answer the phone, and Bulk dives for it because he wants to answer the phone, and then the real men. Paul Schreier and Felix Ryan bonk their noggins together for real in
like
real
Spike
life.
Hits first by like 1 second, and Bulk comes down, and his head just slams head into the back of Spike's head.
Oh, it looks so rough. but it goes to the machine, and Antonio's answering machine is like, it's Antonio, probably fishing. Holler at me.
Yeah.
I haven't had an answering machine in, I don't know, God, ever. I don't think I've ever set up
my
cell
voicemail
phones.
Is the automatic, like, you've reached number. Please leave a message.
You cannot leave me a voicemail. I have never set my voicemail up so that you can leave me a voicemail.
The only things that ever leave me voicemails are scams. So.
If I see that someone I know called me, I'll call back. If I see a number that looks like a number I'm waiting for, I'll call back. If it's anything else, I'm not going to call back. And I don't want you to leave a message. You can text me.
Yeah.
You know?
And we watched the first episode of Goosebumps the Vanishing last night.
Is that the one with Ross from Friends?
That's the one with Ross. Yeah.
Okay.
And the girl in that, there's twins. It's a Phil and Lil situation.
Okay.
And she's off at like debate camp, and he's back home with dad, and he's got goosebumps in him. And so he's like, he calls her. And she doesn't answer, and it goes to her voicemail, and she's like, leave a message. You know I won't listen to it.
See? If I set one up, that's what it would be.
Yeah.
It would be like, this is something I have to delete later. Please don't. It's a shame that he got the goosebumps in.
He got goosebumped.
Look, it could happen to anybody at any time. You're never more. They say you're never more than 8 feet away from getting goosebumped. So he doesn't answer, and they're like, he didn't answer. Kevin's like, Antonio is such a trouble magnet. And then Emily's like, hey, maybe he like he's not a flake though. Like he's not ignoring our phone call. So like maybe he's in trouble.
Like I thought we were last episode. Everyone was like, thank God for Antonio.
He made the black box. He saved everybody.
He's so cool. We love him now. And in this episode, Kevin's like, God, I hate that guy. He's such a dick.
When like, Kevin starts saying like he's like a trouble magnet, I thought we were gonna revert to him being like, I knew I should have trusted that guy, he's not even a samurai.
Yeah,
thank God we don't, but it gets so close.
When Emily's like, hey jackass, he takes this stuff very seriously, so he might be in real trouble and not just ignoring us, because when has Antonio ever just ignored us?
So then the sensor goes off and they have to run. So they do that. And then we cut to Antonio fishing, listening to some tunes. He's got that new Carly Rae on. It's 2012.
Yeah.
Carly Rae's out. He's listening to Kiss, the album, not the band.
Not the band.
He's not into Kiss.
I think he's much more of a pop guy. I don't think he's
absolutely. Much like me, I would way rather listen to Carly Rae Jepsen than Kiss.
Kiss isn't even dad rock anymore. It's like grandpa rock.
Kiss is like old pervert man rock.
Yeah.
and moms who were horny in the 80s.
Yeah.
I think those are the two kind of demographics for Kiss. But so he's listening to Carly Rae's it's technically her second album. Her debut album was out, but it was weirdly like folksy and like sort of like just on that like is she gonna be like a religious country singer? Like is we don't know what she's doing, but then she's like, no, I wanna sing about what I wanna sing about and not that.
I wanna sing about kicking rocks. I wanna sing about Jesus.
I wanna sing about kicking rocks and chicken wire and going down the creek and you know.
Yeah. Just deep introspective stuff.
Getting a boy naked, checking in for ticks. You know, like there's real, just real country stuff. You know, And Antonio doesn't notice the explosions happening behind him or people
else,
running like Godzilla's there.
All the other fishermen
there.
Are running. People are coming from down the street, just running through down the bridge.
Yeah, he's too into the tunes, man.
Just, he's digging the tunes. He's focused on the fish.
It's just him and the fish and the tunes and nothing else. We cut to the Rangers confronting Ernie New Mexico, and he's like, "I told you once, I'm invincible. You're never gonna get through." And so he charges at them, and they pop up a rock wall. Mike and Emily do a rock wall, and then
it's rocks and vines to hold them.
Rocks and vines, yeah. Then Mia and Jaden do a fan fire combo because fans flames
makes them super hot,
right? And we all learned this from Naruto, right?
Yeah,
and then. What the hell does Kevin do? He makes a big tidal wave. Does a big tidal wave.
Yeah.
He does his symbol so big.
He needs a big wave.
Yeah. And it comes from like behind him, but like also from, but it's the
surf attack animation from Pokemon Stadium.
100%. It could have also definitely taken the Rangers out if he was like a foot farther back.
Yeah.
So it hits him and he's like, all it did was clean my shell, you idiots, you dumb losers. And then they're like, check again. And then some cracks start appearing. And then they're like, if you do the right attacks in the right order, then we can do stuff. And then they explain in detail what they did.
Yeah. Now, here's what should have
Like, it's
happened.
Reader Rabbit.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, Emily and Mike made the rock wall. You bounced off that. That softened your shell.
Yeah, that loosened you up.
That was the only thing that did was stop you from hitting us. That was not really conducive
to
the
plan. That was mostly
a
defensive maneuver.
Then we made our super fan fire attack, which superheated your shell, made it so hot.
Yeah.
And then the tidal wave from Kevin cooled it down so fast that now it's breaking.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you use the rock wall to pop him out of the shell and punch him in the soft belly? Why are you not trying to hit him in the soft belly?
Right. I think a lot of them have never played video games.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like a lot of them just never played any video games.
Because when he hits the wall, he opens for a second.
Yeah.
It's like, great, now one of you needs to down thrust onto his stomach.
Yeah. Get up there, Z-target, slash the hell out of his weak spot until he pops up because you got to do that three times.
Yeah.
You've spent too much time being a dog or teaching kindergarten or swimming and doing samurai. Mike, at the very least, should know about how to get rid of bosses from Zelda.
Yeah.
Bare minimum. Unless he's only playing fighting games. He's exclusively a fighting game guy.
Yeah.
Which would make a lot of sense.
Ew.
But no, we've seen him with a Game Gear, though, with like a Game Boy kind of deal.
Yeah, that's true. He's playing the Mortal Kombat port.
Oh, that's just bad taste. That's just bad taste.
It's all he could get into Shiba House.
That's, well.
Mentor was like, you can't bring video games in here. He's like, I got one in my backpack.
I got my Game Boy Micro.
Takes 8 double A's. It only lasts an hour.
It also has an AC port if I want to sit next to an outlet because it's like a 1.5 foot long cord. So I got to be right there. I borrowed my friend Lauren's Game Gear once when I was a kid and I ended up just like playing it on my floor, plugged into the wall like a foot away.
That's the only way you can do it. It takes a whole pack of double A's.
It's like a lot of batteries.
And it does not last that long. I said an hour is a joke, but it's not a lot more than
that. That's not really a joke. And also, the screen is not backlit. If it was, you would get 5 good minutes.
The Game Gear,
you wouldn't even be able to get
Gear
to school. The Game Gear's back. Well, maybe that's why then.
Yeah,
that's
why
the
Game Boy Color only needs 2 double A's. There's no light.
There's no lights. Smart. Nintendo always thinking about what's the cheapest way to do this. And then they do that.
Game Gear is crazy. That's a crazy thing that they made.
Game Gear is pretty crazy. There's so many like handhelds now. There's so many like, but they're all emulators. Like there's no.
Yeah. It's like you can buy it does the same thing as any other version of this. It's just a different shape.
It's just different shapes and stuff. But there's no, I wish I had the acumen to make something like that. And then I want there to be games exclusively on. I want a handheld console with exclusive games on it.
Yeah. Cause the thing, like the closest thing we have to that, and you can bleep this if you want, cause no one should buy it, is the.
Yeah.
But those games are playable on a Game Boy too.
Right.
So that's the closest thing we have, but it's still not different.
There's also another, I heard about it recently. There's another one that like you put the games on SD cards, and then the SD cards go in there and it reads just the one game at a time. So it's similar, but like it's still that, like, I don't know if they have like exclusive games for that.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's, I'm kind of plugged into, I'm not super plugged into the space, but I'm enough in there that I feel like I would have heard about it, you know?
Yeah. There's so many handheld emulators that one of these companies could make a new handheld console.
Yeah. And you just need to have some games for it. But like, you can get people making super, like, you know, 8-bit Game Boy color ass games and just like put them on there. We can make this happen.
I'd buy it, is all I'm saying.
Easily. Super would buy it. I would love to play Ash's little shrimp game on a real Game Boy, you know? There wasn't a lot of game yet. She was just noodling around, but she made it so you could, the, you know, the background moved and the shrimp could jump and stuff. And I was like, you are way farther than me. I was trying to figure out how to put character in there.
I have GB Studio, but I don't think I've opened it yet.
I opened it and I would, because it's like a visual programming language, so it's like it should be easier. And I was like, I'm really stupid then, I guess. Like, but she said there's like a bunch of, she found some tutorials. That's what she like watched those to figure it out. And I was like, I just got to do that. I just got to do some tutorials and just make my little jump in game.
I just got to make Dennis the Menace color.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You got to
make.
It doesn't
even need to be color. I kind of want it to just be a Game Boy game.
You got to make Dinker the Stinker.
Dinker the Stinker versus the aliens or versus monsters. Aliens. I don't know what the bad guys are yet, but they're taking over the town.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I also have thought about making a beat 'em up game with the locals characters that I have been doing. Because Chris mentioned that they would look like a fun beat 'em up game. And I'm like, that would be a pretty fun beat 'em up game. Well, we'll see. We'll get anyway, so the halfway through the tidal wave, I got a commercial for Flippy Heads.
I got the Flippy Heads like three times today.
I feel like I saw Bob Pataki's very round face so many times.
So sick of looking at these things, man. For $10 a month, I can make them go away.
You can just get rid of them. YouTube, if you want to sponsor this show,
all we are asking for is a free subscription.
It's two free subscriptions.
Yeah.
And maybe one we could give away, which you wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
You're YouTube. What are you?
Come on.
Come on. come on. Anyway, so he calls them lamos. He does call the Power Rangers lamos.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. But then Kevin has an idea, and he says, if I can sneak up on him, I think it can work, but I'll need Emily's help. And Jaden's like, all right, here, use the black box, go Super Samurai mode to get more power. And they're like doing this little colluding, and Arnie's just still standing off where he was.
He's waiting for them to figure out how to kill him. Yeah.
And like, we saw his shell cracking, but like, it didn't explode. He's just still like, okay, just plan. Go and plan, I guess. I'll be here. Do whatever you want. I want to point out, Kevin says if we can sneak up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in mind for like 5 seconds.
Sure.
Okay. Sneaking up is the crux of the plan.
Yeah, he needs Emily's help to be sneaky.
Yeah. I guess Emily's super good at symbol power, and we just decided that. I don't know if
she
the Yellow Ranger.
She did make a big boulder.
She made a big boulder. Like, she did all of it last time, as far as we could tell, where she made all of it, I guess. But like, I guess we just like at some point we're like, Emily's super good at symbol power, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Dogs are more connected to nature, and that's where symbol power comes from. And also she's a singer, so there's a lot of heart in there. Yeah. I guess symbol power could also be singing about chicken wire.
Both of those things are headcanons.
Basically exactly the same. Well, I mean, look, we don't know for sure. It could go either way.
So look, she is a musician. She was playing that flute the first time we ever saw her.
She plays a flute.
And you know she jams on that thing Jethro Tull style on her album.
I bet she goes nuts on the flute.
Oh, hell yeah.
On the album.
I have to buy Emily's new album.
We should check out Emily Last Name's new album.
She has to have a last name. They all have last names.
They don't. The only person who has a last name besides Jaden is Mia, as far as I know.
Power Rangers. Samurai. It's going to be one of those ones where, like, it's this, and there's no evidence of it. Someone just said it. Yeah, that's the case. On Ranger Wiki, I'm not going to click it to open the website, but it does have her listed as Emily Sugiyama, the Power Rangers Samurai and Super Samurai.
Wrong! Wrong.
Yeah, that's not right. Prove it.
Prove it. hey, here's a weird thing. If you go down to like the other searches, it says Power Rangers Samurai Emily, real name. Power Rangers Samurai Emily and Jaden kiss? I doubt it.
Also, what's really funny is I did actually click on this, and it doesn't say that on the fan wiki page at all. That's just in the Google blurb.
Wow. Get it together, Ranger Wiki. What a disappointment.
Yeah, this just calls her Emily.
I think somebody in our Discord said that there were fan names running around for them back in the day.
Yeah, but we know about Power Rangers fans, and we stay away from them. So.
Right. So we'll see what the fan...
After yesterday, seeing those people talk about that trailer...
Yeah.
I am just so happy that we have carved out our own little slice of Power Rangers fans and like made friends with a lot of people that aren't those people.
That aren't like that. It's amazing. It's genuinely amazing.
We're the little corner. You can come here and not have to talk to them.
Right? Yeah. You don't have to worry about all those weirdos and losers over here. It's very nice. Let's see. Where were we? So he gets the black box. He's like, all right, Emily. Jane's like, finish your plan. We'll distract him. They don't do that basically at all. Emily makes a hole. Kevin dives in the hole. And the hole is a Looney Tunes hole, so it goes down and up again.
Yeah.
And he's still face up the whole time. So it's fine.
It's like a 7-foot wide hole, so he can just kind of swoop under it.
Yeah, okay. He can mid-hole, he can flip around. But he pops up. He doesn't super samurai's until, like, he's out of the hole, basically.
And also, for sneaking up on him to take the pin out of that, Arnie looks at the hole and says, what are you doing?
What are you doing in that
hole? He knows he's in there because he's fighting Emily. And he's like, you should have hid, like, your friend in the hole.
And then Kevin pops up, like, and he super samurai's. He's like, he's still in the hole, but he's, like, a little bit out, basically, when he super samurai's. And then he just, like, attacks him, like, regular. Like, the sneaking portion did not need to happen.
No.
At all. I don't think it did happen, technically speaking. I just... So then he does the shadow play where he does a big slash, and he pops him up, and Arnie dies. Except, psych, he goes mega mode. So now we go...
So we do see in the opening credits... that all of the Rangers will wear the jacket at some point.
At the same time, unless that's just a promo shot.
That's what I was like, do they get it at the same... Do we clone the black box at some point? Or is there some way that they all get it at once?
The only other... So there's a shot of the five of them wearing their jackets. Mm-hmm. And then there is Jaden doing Jaden stuff. The only other Ranger that gets like a dedicated shot of them with the jacket on it in the intro is Emily.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they, I mean, eventually maybe they'll sort it out.
Because I was like, are these first few episodes going to be each Ranger getting their super?
Everyone gets their super own, yeah.
But the Red Ranger, Battle of the Red Rangers is like 2 episodes from now.
Yeah.
And the thumbnail for the next episode was wild.
Thumbnail for the next one. We have a guest on the next one. I'm very excited. Anne's going to be back. Very excited to talk about that with them. It's going to be, because the thumbnail... Not to spoil anything, but it's a certain Power Ranger's face on a garden gnome.
A garden gnome.
Can't wait. Anyway, so they're like, we gotta go mega mode now. So they start doing mega mode stuff. Commercial for the masks. Come back out. Every single Ranger does Samurai Ranger brackets element mm-hmm. end brackets new brackets animal folding sword. Samurai Ranger Air, Turtle Folding Zord. Right?
Yeah.
4 Rangers do that. We see the whole thing. This episode was coming in light, I guess. So we see that, all of that, eventually. And then Kevin lands in the thing. He has the extra shirt vest thing now. And they're in individual Zords. And their individual Zords are starting to run up. And I was like, oh, get an individual Zord fight this late in the game? Okay, yeah. It's like they get their Megazords. They combine right away.
Yeah.
So then they do the finisher slash of the base form, just the like katana samurai, katana slash, whatever. And it doesn't kill him. And for a second, I thought it was gonna, but it didn't. And I'm kind of glad, but also like,
I don't know how it plays. I don't know.
They just have to do the same thing again.
But then, so this is when I thought, like, is this episode old?
No.
But it's not. But for a second, I was like, is this an episode from, like, early that they just didn't use that they're using now? And that's why Antonio lost his phone, so they don't have any Gold Ranger stuff. And, like, they're using just the regular default Megazord. And for a second, it looked like there might have been individuals or fights. Like, is this just, like, an early Shinkendra episode that they didn't use? But then they do every – but literally everything else happened, so I guess not. They just wanted Antonio to –
yeah, I don't know.
Kick rocks.
He's got the samurai jacket. They're in the Zords and they're whatever. And he's like, we don't have Antonio, but we have the next best thing with the black box. We can use his Zords.
We can just steal his stuff.
His Zords are in the cooler that he is sitting on.
They sneak out under his ass, I guess, and he doesn't even notice. He's in the middle. He's sitting on both flaps. They didn't, like, it's not like there's like a side one that Squidly and Clawzord snuck out of. But they do the whole thing. They do beetle mode. It doesn't work. They do swordfish mode. It doesn't work. They do tiger mode. It doesn't work. Then he's like, I'm invincible. Stop trying or anything. And then they put them all together with the black box and they make
the Clawzord when it turns into Super Samurai Megazord.
Yeah, when it turns into man mode.
And he gets the claw knees and chest and helmet. And it cuts back to the far shot. And the way that the Clawzord's knees, like, snap in, it makes this Megazord look super bow-legged.
He looks bow-legged, and he's also so wide.
Yeah.
That it's like, this could just be Taz circa 2002.
Yeah. And then they suplex him, and that's how they kill him.
And then, the Megazord suplex machine starts throwing out suplexes you've never even heard of before, man.
Just grabbing your bodies in ways you didn't know it could be held and throwing it.
You didn't think it happen. Flipping you over his head, over your own head, upside down, right side up, belly to back, back to back? How do you do that? We don't know.
He's a suplex machine.
He's a suplex machine. Can you imagine a back-to-back suplex?
No.
That would be like...
I can't. You'd have to hold them behind your back. It's almost like a backslide.
I was going to say, if you do like a backslide thing, but then like...
But throw them.
Rocket them out.
Oh, it's a razor's edge.
It's like a razor's edge, but like a deep razor's edge. Yeah. Like you start down here and you like get them.
It is an inverted reverse German suplex.
Yeah. It's a right side up vertebraker.
Yeah.
Oh, pro wrestling is the best. I don't know why. It's the best. Asterisk, this does not include WWE. They are sports entertainment, and they will tell you as such. What happens next? So then they put the cannon together, and they shoot him. They make it the cannon, and they blow him
up.
Also, mid-attack, I got a commercial for the Zords. This is, like, legitimately, like, the sixth one, I think. There's so many.
It's insane. And it's not like this on other video. Like, I watch videos, like, video game videos and stuff that are, like, nearly an hour long.
Yeah.
With ads, but not this many. There's just, like, an ad at the front.
Yeah, it's like there's like an ad at the front. There's like maybe two in there.
Yeah.
Maybe three if it goes on long enough. But like this is like 5 to 36, 15 minute ads.
This is 5 hours worth of ads in a 23 minute video.
Like, yeah. And like, like the first time it happened where there was five, it was always on a scene cut. It was on a scene transition. It was crisp.
Now they're just dropping in mid-sentence.
Mid-word, you know? Like, whatever they feel like. Like I feel like there's a dial at Hasbro. Like, there's, like, in the offices, there's, like, the YouTube thing, and they just have a dial that's, like, more ads. Like, they just crank it up. And it's ridiculous, to be completely honest. So, anyway, we cut back to... He dies, right? And Kevin gets to do the victory is ours.
Yeah, he dies.
The man is dead. We cut back to the pier. Bill and Spike are there, and they're like, we're never going to find this cell phone. And then Spike goes, oh, this is hopeless. We're never going to. And Bulk's like, I will follow my samurai intuition.
Yeah,
and
he's holding
find...
the phone up, and he's like, I am using this to find the owner.
He's like dowsing for Antonio. Yeah.
Who's right behind them.
He's right there, yeah. And then Spike goes, wait a minute, isn't this from the place where we found the cell phone in the first place? And Buck goes, yeah, you're right, good enough, and just drops it on the ground and they leave.
We did it. We put it back where we found it.
We just took it on a tour of the city. They leave. Emily and Mike walk up. They don't pass each other.
Like, they, yeah.
But
they
Antonio is there for both. Antonio's behind them in both. So, like, is there a law?
There's no reason for Bulk and Spike to be in this. Like, what they did by taking the phone does not change the episode at all, because Antonio didn't know it fell out of his pocket anyway.
Antonio didn't even try. Yeah, if Antonio would have been trying to find it, that would have been something. But
it's
instead,
nothing.
He's just having a day off.
Like, the Rangers see them sort of during the fight, and they're like, go protect those guys, but they don't.
But then they don't.
Then they don't. And they just bring it back and drop it back on the ground where it was. Like, it's all Island of Illusion Part 2.
Literally, it's the wedding part two. It's the one where they're in the cave part two. Like, it's like this episode could have been completely excised and nothing would have happened.
I think that's what,
like,
I meant. That's Ninja Encounter part two. I think that's the Ninja one. I meant. Where they start the up chained, they break out, and they end up chained, and nothing was different.
The wedding, they start in the basement, they get out, they end up back in the wedding. Part three happens. Like, you could have just not done part two. The only thing, I think it's part two that you find out that Kimberly has a brother. That's the only thing that matters to me in that whole episode.
It didn't matter to them.
Doesn't matter to them. Anyway, one of these days, someone's going to hand me the keys. And I'm going to...
And it's going to be over for them.
Kimberly's brother's going to be real. And then all the dorks are going to come out of the woodwork. And they're going to be like, oh, Kimberly's the only child, obviously. And I'm like, someone didn't watch Power Rangers,
someone
the television show.
The Wedding Part 2.
The Wedding Part 2. Loser. Crack a book. The book is a DVD case.
Yeah, actually read it. And don't just ask Grok to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Loser ass dorks. So anyway, Mike and Emily come up. They see him fishing, and they're like, oh, okay, he's here. And then Mike goes, well, good, because I'm about to give him some guff, and now that I know he's okay, I don't feel as bad about it. But then they stomp, and Emily goes, wait a minute, is this his phone? Did he drop his phone on the ground? And then Mike's like, we gotta razz him. We gotta razz him about this. She's like, he doesn't even know it's gone. So they go up to him, and they're like, hey. And he's like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah, he's just like excited to see them. He's like, hey, my friends are here fishing. No kidding.
Hey, you want
to
fish? Yeah, hell yeah. And they're like, hey, missing something? And he's like, what do you mean? And then they hand him his phone. And he goes, oh, God. And they're like, yeah, you haven't checked your messages.
Yeah, he's like, I have 34 missed messages.
34 missed calls? And then he's like, what happened? Is everything okay? Like, he's like, genuinely like, oh, God. And then Mike's like, you want to let him sweat it out? And I was like, yeah. And then they turn around and say, what happened? He's just grabbing his stuff and he's running after them.
He runs after them and he's like, oh, this was such a relaxing day.
Oh,
he's like, now my day is ruined because I dropped my cell phone.
Oh, man. That, honestly, though, like, the days where you just put your phone down and you don't think about it.
Just put your phone down and go fishing.
Just go fish.
Get the license.
Don't do it illegally. The fish cops will get you.
Yeah.
It's $10 for a day pass, for a day to fish.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's easy.
Leave your phone at home.
Because you'll drop it off the boat.
Go to
anyway.
The lake. You live near one. You'll find one.
You'll find it. Yeah.
And just cast the line and vibe, man.
Just enjoy the
just
tunes.
Just cast the line and vibe, man.
Vibe. You deserve it.
Yeah.
I thought the episode was going to end there, but it doesn't. We cut to DeBoat, and then Andrew's mad about all his soft minions. He's like, he was a soft shell like a crab, and you got a soft brain. And then he slaps one of the furry warts down, and we just get a close-up of the furry wart on the ground, being like, aw.
Be
and
like,
it's like kind of sad.
Why are they? Why are these?
Because it's funny.
Like, are they going to be? Is there going to be something at the end where they all combine into some, like, gnarly monster?
I hope that Xander gets trapped on the boat after they seal him.
And the furry
and then
warts eat
the
him.
The furry warts eat him alive. That's what I hope happens. And they're like, eat the boats. And they like eat his all the, they eat him.
I eat the boats. The bones.
What a good commercial. Anyway, so he's like, and Octor's like, yeah, the super samurai mode is so cool and powerful. It's really giving us a headache. And he's like, yeah, going right now. And he drinks his
lounging, drinking sake or whatever.
Yep. And then, bum, 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 samurai.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. And Josh.
It's over.
It's over. And but I started.
You did.
So you gotta. You gotta pick.
I have a best. I was thinking about this about halfway through, and when I realized I had to pick first.
All right, what is it?
It is the design of Armadevil, Arnie, whichever state.
New Mexico.
Arnie, New Mexico.
Come on, which state would have the armadillos in it? I've already used Texas. It really only leaves the one option.
Arizona, I'm sure. We have armadillos. I've seen them on the side of the road, unfortunately.
Well, they're lost. You need to point them to Texas. Tell them to get home.
I don't know why they're here. I don't know how they got here.
Get along, little dog.
They're just getting run over on the highway. It's really sad.
Well, they're so little, and they're like, I can protect myself in the shelp. Not from a car.
Not from a car, man. I'm so sorry.
You got to go back to Texas. They don't have cars down there. Everybody's on horses.
They just have trucks.
They got trucks and horses, and that's it.
But yeah, it's the monster design is the best.
Okay. I'm going to say the best is, and by the end of the episode, I don't think it's the best anymore. But for a second, I was like, is it going to be the, like, them trying to get the phone back to Antonio? And it was not. So,
well, because that wasn't anything. You remove that and nothing changes.
Nothing changes. I was so excited about it for a second. And my first thought was like, Spike could morph because this power is not tied to Antonio. It's tied to the phone.
Yeah. He doesn't know the code, though.
Oh, that's true. What if he accidentally
did it? What if he
did
it by accident trying to play Snake?
He's looking for Snake. He's trying to find games on the phone. He finds Light.
And then he's the Gold Ranger And they would go to return it. He doesn't know how to unmorph. So they go to return it, but he's still morphed. And they're like, oh, great, Antonio, you can help us fight the monster. But it's and Spike.
Like, and he's like, I don't know about this, guys.
I've never fought a monster before. And he just runs and hides.
That would be so good. That would be the best if
that
it was.
Would be cool if they let Bulk and Skull interact with the Power Rangers in any way.
But they're not allowed to because they're filming in batches, like seven episodes at a time, so they can get Paul Schreier back home. Even though it's a new season, you'd think they would have figured out the schedule by now. Anyway, my best is when they drop it on the pier at the end because I thought it was funny.
Good enough
when they
for
come
me.
Back and they're like, oh yeah, good enough, and they leave. I thought that was funny. I got a chuckle out of it.
That is a good joke.
What's the worst?
The worst is how unnecessary them trying to return the phone is.
I think I agree, but I think the worst for me this episode is Mentor. Just
yeah, I forgot I forgot about him, but he sucks.
just how useless he is. He's like a lamp. Like he might
just set dressing. Yeah.
He might as well be like a doorbell. Like he's like nothing, you know. He's a refrigerator that can talk. Like
Yeah, all he does is call the Rangers. But he doesn't even do that well.
No, he calls them and goes it could have been a text, first of all.
Yeah,
they should have a gap sensor app on their phone.
Mentor.
Yeah. But, like, just this episode just really, like, it stuck out, like, how useless he is as a character
in
this show.
Jaden knows enough that he doesn't need – that Mentor doesn't need to exist anymore.
And they have the archive books. That
yeah, and they just have the map.
Them.
The map will just come up and tell you, like, this is where the monster is. And it's not like Mentor gives them inside knowledge like Zordon did on, like, oh, the monster has these powers. You got to watch out for this.
Yeah, I think he's done that one time, and he read it from the same book that they're looking at in this episode. Yeah. There's a shot of them like looking through books trying to figure out his weakness or something.
The books are more useful than Mentor.
Yeah, maybe that was last time. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
He's
either
just
way.
The groundskeeper who got like roped into this when Jane's dad got killed.
Yeah. Who's the MVP?
They want me to say Kevin.
I think they do, yes.
But his plan sucked. His plan was dumb.
His plan wasn't
the thought that he had and the conclusion that he arrived at is a whack ass trajectory.
Yeah. There's ocean between them. I think I have an MVP.
All right, who is it?
I think it's Jaden, specifically in that first scene with Mia. I don't know what they just let him be for one episode and they're like
just go out there and have fun, like
have a good time.
You know all the things about the characters, so just
yeah,
go out there and be Jaden shopping with Mia with no stakes.
Yeah, and that was nice.
Yeah,
because you need to show the Power Rangers as people too, and I think this season has really forgotten that.
Yeah,
RPM also didn't really have a ton of that, but they had some more. But this season is basically just like everything is training or waiting to do Power Ranger stuff. And there's not a lot of just like them being. And every time there is, it's like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
This is fun. So Jane's my MVP.
I just keep wanting to give it to Emily.
I mean, look.
Trying to think of why in this particular episode.
Well, it's because of her hit song, Kickin' Rocks.
It's Kickin' Rocks.
Kickin' Rocks.
It's because of Kickin' Rocks. It's because she made the boulder. But she's very present in the episode despite not being a focus of it.
Yeah.
And I like that. So I'm going to give it to Emily.
All right. Good. Good enough. Done. Now we got to rank it.
I don't like the new country singer persona as much, but no, I still don't like Emily the most.
Yeah. It's Miranda Slambert. So, by the end of this half of the season, we're going to have
Amanda Lampert.
Amanda Lampert. yes. And her hit new debut album, Chicken Wire.
I'll have to make sure I put like her staff photo in the rules, in the Lampert rules.
Yes, got
it. Just like hide it in the corner.
Yes.
And no one will know until they hear this episode why I did that.
But then also I think by the end of Super Samurai, we're going to have at least 10 tracks on Amanda Lampert's debut album, Chicken Wire.
Yeah.
That we'll be able to make a whole CD for. Figure out what her whole thing is. We got to rank it. It wasn't great.
I
liked it more than last time.
I immediately jumped to the Christmas episode. Like, is it better than a Christmas clip show?
Is it better than a Christmas clip show? I don't think so. But I do think it's better than I've Got a Spell on Blue.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So right there?
Yeah, I think that's right.
All right, sounds good. Coming in at number 12, Shell Game, or Shield Game, as my autocorrect
Shield
decided.
Game, if you let her.
It's the third. That's the third single.
12 out of 23. It is dead center of the list.
It felt pretty dead center to me.
This is the most Super Samurai episode that they've had so far.
Yep. Even more Super Samurai than the episode Super Samurai.
The episode Super Samurai, where they constantly say, "We're Super Samurai."
We're Super Samurai. Looking at the camera, winking. That's going to do it for us for today. Next episode is called Trading Places. What's it called?
The next episode is Trading Places.
Okay. One of my favorite Mighty Morphin Power Rangers episodes is Switching Places, where Billy and Kim switch bodies.
Yeah.
So who we think?
Will this, with the thumbnail of Jaden's face and a lawn gnome,
a lawn gnome,
will this live up to Billy and Kimberly switching bodies?
I can't imagine it will. Maybe we'll save it. We'll save it for next time.
Yeah.
And we'll talk with Anne about it, and we'll get like a round table of this idea that I have. I'm going to write it down right now.
Okay.
All right. I got that written down. I have it ready for next time. So we'll see you next time for Trading Places. But until then,
may the power protect you. Do we say let's super samurais, guys?
Oh, let's give it a shot.
Okay, let's try it. Let's try it on.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Let's super samurais, guys.
I can't believe we nailed that in one.
I feel like we crushed it. Genuinely.